meet together every first day of the week, I personally think that the most important part of our worship is what we just participated in. That we got to gather together as the people of God to remember Jesus our Lord. I don't know what you like to think about during that time. We all think about different things, don't we? Hopefully you were reflecting on the true beauty of Jesus. I like to, at times, remember verses. It helps me to keep my focus during that time. And this morning, as we were taking of the bread and the cup, I was thinking of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, where the Hebrew writer said, "For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, that we may not grow weary and lose heart." Such a wonderful thing, and our God, full of wisdom, understood that. He understood what we need, didn't he? He really knows us. He knows that we need to remember something very, very important. And we don't need to just remember that once a year, once every 6 months. Really, we need to remember it every day, but he set it up for us to remember it every week, right? We're all so proud of our kids, lads to leaders. Our kids are doing well. It's hard to believe that they're going to compete in about a month. I can't believe it's already here. For those of you who are not aware of Lads Leaders, we've been working with our young people to help encourage them and train them up and to develop them into leaders. And they're doing an outstanding job, and they're going to compete down at Castle Rock next month. And so we do ask for your prayers. Now, it's fitting that the theme of Lads to Leaders has to do with what we're doing today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, remember where Paul brings back the memory of the Lord's Supper when the Lord broke bread with the disciples and he said, "Take this, eat, drink this cup, do this in what? Remembrance." You know, although there's several reasons we meet, I think one of the most obvious is that we're forgetful people. We forget. I do. I know you do as well. We all, and the Lord knew that. We forget. God didn't want us to forget that Jesus was sent from heaven to this earth to die in our place for our sins. He didn't want us to forget it. He didn't want us to forget that Jesus was sent from heaven to earth to explain to us and to remind us again and again how God wants us to live. He left it with us in his word, didn't he? To explain the things of God himself. He didn't want us to forget that he came here, as Bruce did a great job this morning reminding us. He didn't want us to forget a covenant. We have a covenant, a contract, an agreement between God and us. And this covenant, we understand, call it, it was inaugurated or put in force or began through the very blood of Jesus. You see, the blood was actually the signature of Christ. He didn't want us to forget that we have a covenant with him, a relationship. And included in that covenant with him, it's not just a covenant with him, it's a covenant with one another. We are part of that covenant relationship right here. And that is a reminder. He don't want you to forget that. That's why we do it every week. God knows that we can remember. He didn't want us to forget an important truth. Jesus Christ is going to come back again. And Jesus Christ is going to raise the dead from the tomb. You are going to be raised from your tomb, wherever that is, whenever that is. And he says we're going to have new bodies and we are going to be like him and we are going to be with God forever. He doesn't want you to forget that. But God knows how I can be and you can be such a forgetful people. Whether it's not just the elderly, by the way. Us younger folks, too. I don't know where I fit in this, right in the middle, right? Maybe a little beyond the middle, but we all forget. I remember this, I heard this story, this older couple, they were in their kitchen or out in the nook area, and it was breakfast time, and the wife said, "I'd sure like some bacon." And so the husband got up and he shuffled into the kitchen. He came back rather quickly with a bowl of ice cream. And she looked at him and she said, "Henry, you are so forgetful. You forgot the chocolate syrup." It's not only the elderly that are forgetful, but we all can be. How many of us have lost the keys? Or forgot our keys? Or forgot our directions, our appointment? Just recently, I like a dummy, I had my keys in my pocket. I'm looking around the house for my keys. They're in my pocket. Ladies, how many times have you had your keys in your purse? And you're looking and you're asking the kids or anybody else where the keys are. Where are my keys? They're right in your purse. We forget. How many of us have forgotten directions? Not even Siri is even perfect with directions. She's misguided me at times as well. Our appointments. We can forget doctor's appointments and other engagements. And my dad used to tease me because I would say all the time, I forgot. You know our kids do that. He'd say, "Son, you'd forget your head if it wasn't attached to your shoulders." We forget. We're a forgetful people. But you know what the problem with forgetting is? The problem with forgetting is that when we forget, we repeat. As God's people, as the church, on a national level, as a nation, we know it's true. When we forget, we repeat. And history, again and again, we say, will repeat itself. I remember an instructor, I asked him one time when I was younger, "Why does history repeat itself?" He says, "Because we don't learn from history." Usually we know our history, but we forget it for whatever reasons, and we repeat it. We forget. When we forget, we repeat. Think of that on a spiritual level. When we forget the things Jesus has done for us, we repeat, don't we? We go back into our old lives and into the world and into the old ways. And God knew that. And it's not just us. I've been listening or reading a book, and I've shared many times with you how I enjoy the inspiration of military books. Those that have been in battle. And this, I was listening to a podcast after I read a book called Into the Fire. And these were two former military men in different branches of the military who had seen a tremendous war time, tremendous battles, been in them, right in the heart of them. And this podcast was about this book, and the guy who was in this book, he was in this podcast, and there were moments between the two that were very awkward because it was a long period of nothing, silence. And you could tell, you could see in their faces that they were bothered. And there was these moments of silence. And later on, after the podcast, the host put on his Facebook post where we were at watching the podcast. He said, "In those times of silence, we remember." That's what we do. And I've always gained inspiration from those people that really know their purpose. They'll tell you, "You know why we live? We live now to remember them." You know why we live, church? To remember Him. God wants us to be a remembering people. And our text is really just one passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 11. If you want to look at it quickly, you can. Just listen to me, verse 22 and verse 23, where Paul talks about how we are to behold both the goodness, we're to remember the goodness of God and this other side of God that he calls the severity of God. This is in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Behold the kindness of God, or your translation might be goodness, and the severity of God. And then we know, as often God has left us Israel's example for us to learn from. Paul uses that again and again. He goes on to say, to those who fell, severity, but to you, God's kindness. And then he uses a conditional statement, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. See, there's an element that we need to constantly keep in mind, that we need to remember about God. Not an element, but a truth. The reality that God is both good and there is also a severe side of God. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning in our lesson, that we should not forget the goodness of God. Israel was such a forgetful people, weren't they? I look at their history and I go, how could they forget? But I forget too. I mean, go back and look at the things that happened to Israel 40 years with God. 40 years not just with God, but with God giving them direction. God guided them. Even though life in the wilderness was terrible, difficult, trying, God was their leader. Moses was as well, but God went on before them, and they knew that. Remember, early on after they had left Egypt out of slavery, here comes the Egyptian army right after them. And what does God do right away? He parts the sea. And remember, they go through it first, the children of Israel. Here comes the Egyptian army with Pharaoh. And what does God do? He causes the sea to swallow them up. This is God who's doing this. Manna falls from the sky daily, except on the Sabbath, right? We know they're in a parched land, they're in a desert, they're hot, they're thirsty. What does God do? He provides water from a rock. He is taking care of his people. All of these things, and many of the ones who Moses had addressed before he went to the promised land, or before they entered in, the few who did enter into the promised land, they were children who had seen and actually witnessed and experienced these things. He wasn't just saying it to people who, well, the generations ago, we've heard about this. No, they went through it. God knew that if his goodness wasn't put before the people time and time and time again, that they would forget it. Just as Israel forgot it, and many fell. Matter of fact, at times, most fell. It is so easy for me to point at Israel's forgetfulness, but let's take this at a little closer time of our history. Let's take, some of you remember having conversations with family members. Maybe they were parents. Maybe they were grandparents or even great-grandparents that spoke about the Great Depression, right? We all know about the Great Depression. That difficult time in our nation's history. Terrible time, just one of the many. As we read of those books and stories and the families went through it, all of the fear, all of the sadness, hunger and loss, some thought there was no hope, I'm going to end my life, and they did. I don't know how many, but many did. But you know what many others said about that time? They said, we will never forget this. But you know what? As time has a way of marching on, as time has a way of moving forward, and things have a way of getting better, what happened to the next generation, or even that generation later on? We forget. We no longer remember. Here's what gets me. And I can find this even in my life. In times of feasting, I forget. But in times of fasting, I don't. I don't know why, but it's a reality. When times are good, it's hard. Prosperity makes it very difficult to remember. But for some reason, when the hammer comes down in my life, when difficulty, hardship, whatever form it comes in, doesn't matter, I remember. I think the Lord knows that too, and that's why there's the warning for us to remember. Remember in times of prosperity, this is from me, but remember in times of adversity, that's from me too. God wants to keep us on the right path. God wants to get us home. And that's our challenge in times of a feasting world, to not forget the goodness of God. Because you see, I tend to be so busy that I'm not connected with Him anymore. We're not connected in prayer anymore because things are okay. I don't see much need to be constantly thankful for what I've got and what this life is. I'm not in prayer as much, right? I'm not on my knee. Boy, in fasting, I'm on my knees. Hardship brings me right on these babies. Quickly. And you too. It keeps me away from being in here to receive the instruction. This is what's important to your life, church. God knows. He doesn't want you to forget. He wants you to remember His goodness, but He also wants you to remember His severity. Don't be unbalanced. Our world sometimes, and even in the church, and even in our preaching and teaching, we can be unbalanced. We cannot be unbalanced. Jonathan, some of you remember Jonathan Edwards. You've heard of that great preacher in the 1700s. He was a president of Princeton, a powerful preacher during the Great Awakening. And in those days, they preached some really, really hard sermons. I'm sure some of you back in your day heard some really, really hard sermons. He had a sermon, a famous sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Ever heard of that? Go read that sermon sometime. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I won't quote it all, but basically said, if you fall into the hands of God, you deserve it. It's on you. He said in that sermon, throughout you turn your back against God and don't accept His Son. You have not told your people, you have not told your friends about this hope and about this one who saves you. And you don't live like God wants you to live. He says you will one day be a sinner in the hands of an angry God. Somewhere in that sermon he said, and He will dangle you over the pits of hell. This was a long sermon. Go back and listen to it. Go back. I don't know if you can hear it. I'd probably not, but you can read it. The Baptist, John, how about him? Let's go from Jonathan Edwards to John the Baptist, who came preaching a repentance for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? He was a wilderness preacher. I want to hear John the Baptist preach, me personally. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him to preach a sermon for me. But in Luke chapter 3, 7 and 8, he said, remember, he called the people snakes. Well, that's not going to get a lot of friends. He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. And what was his message? It was the same as all the prophets. It's time, Israel, to turn back to God. Repent, right? That's always been the message. And that was Jesus, the prophet. That was his message too. We need to be a people who turn back to God. That's why Peter said the Lord's not slow about His promise. Some were saying, well, where's the Lord? He's not going to come back. We've forgotten Him. Some stopped even believing in it. Peter said the Lord's not slow about His promises. Some count slowness, but He is patient towards you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Have we forgotten why the Lord hasn't come back yet? Have we forgotten that the Lord has such a deep love and desire for every soul that He is patient, and that's why He hasn't come back? Because He doesn't want anyone to perish. He loves his creation greater than they love him. Today, these messages don't seem to fly over, and of course, I wouldn't probably preach a sermon "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." We do have to preach all of God's word. We talk of love, we talk of compassion, forgiveness, and grace. And by the way, if you go and study some of those truths and you study them to their end, they can be pretty strong too. Grace instructs us to deny ungodliness. That's what grace does. It's teaching us, don't do this. But we can't forget about all the messages. To forget about the severity of God is to forget about what Jesus spoke. Remember what Jesus said? You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. Wow, remember what he said after that. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman to lust after her in his own heart, he has already committed adultery. He said, if your right eye makes you stumble, cut it out, throw it from you, for it's better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than your whole body to be thrown into hell. Then he said, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Do what you got to do to be right with God. Cut it off and throw it from you, for it's better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. And that's eternal, what he's talking about. To not talk about these is to take away from Jesus' message when he said in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't forget the wrath of God. As our scripture reading of Deuteronomy 4:23-25, that God is a consuming fire that destroys everything in his path. And remember, he told Israel, don't forget, remember me, remember my ways. And in Revelation 6:16, where we find the six seals, it talks about in the sixth seal the wrath of the Lamb. Jesus is mentioned as the wrath of him. There is a side of him that is wrath. And by the way, sometimes we might look at that, behold the goodness and severity of God, and think on one side, here's God's goodness. This is the bad side of God. There isn't a bad side of God. Not at all. Do you know what the severity of God really is? It's nothing but God's reaction. That's all it is. It is a reaction to those who refuse his forgiveness. It's the only action that a holy, perfect God can have. It's just. It's right. When something so wonderful and good and promising and hopeful has been offered and we disregard it, that's his reaction. To trample underfoot his grace. Don't, church. Don't forget his grace. Don't forget his forgiveness. But don't forget his severity. Don't disregard the living God. Because remember, Paul said in Romans 2:4, don't think highly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, or do you think lightly of these things? And then he said, "Or not knowing that the kindness of God is what led you to repentance in the first place. You know why you're here and you've repented and you continue to live a life of repentance? Because of God's goodness and kindness. That's it. It's not because you're wonderful or I'm wonderful. It's his kindness. We can't forget that kindness. There was a church survey. Question was asked, do you believe in heaven and hell in this survey? It was split. There was a yes and no answer. Here's what was recorded in that survey. 98% said they believe in heaven, but 60% said they don't believe in hell. I believe in heaven. Yes, I'm going to have all the wonderful blessings of God. He's a loving, caring God. He is. But 60% of them said there is no hell. What is the point? No hell at all. We're just going to receive all the wonderful gifts. Remember the goodness of God and remember the severity of God. It was 1889. It was a little town in Pennsylvania. It was called Johnstown. It was in this little valley where two rivers came together out on the edge of town. 40 miles up the mountain where the river met, there was a lake, and there was a dam at the top of that, a big reservoir. Well, the story goes that it held for years, that dam. But every single year, for many, many years, somebody would say to the people that the dam is getting old and it's going to break. But as years went on and time went on, as people warned them and said, we've got to do something about this dam and we've got to repair it, the people just brushed it off. They just didn't do anything about it. Some of them even laughed and mocked it. Oh yeah, the water's going to really come and get us, right? They laughed and just kind of made fun of it. This isn't going to happen to us. May 31st, 1889. That little town heard a great big roar. The dam burst and the waters flooded towards the city. A wall of water, 60 feet high. That's high. 60 feet high swallowed up that little town in 10 minutes. And it is recorded that 2,200 people died that day. Why did they die? Why did those people die? Was it because they had never heard? Was it because they couldn't do anything about it? Was it because they weren't warned? Well, they just didn't believe that the dam was going to break. But guess what? Even though they didn't believe that it was going to break, it broke. People have been told through the generations that Jesus Christ is going to come, and yet they still refuse to do anything about it. That he is going to come and he is going to judge the people, and they are going to give an account for their life, and they refuse to accept him. They refuse to be baptized into the name of Jesus in water for the remission of sins, which is in the Word of God. They refuse. I don't need to do that. They refuse to live faithful to him and think, I've got his grace. I can do what I want. God's a loving God, and so universally, he's going to take care of us all. And they refuse. But you know what? Even though they may not believe it and even though they refuse, the story says he's still coming back. God is wonderful. God is merciful. God is full of grace. Don't forget his wrath. Let's stand and let's sing. Don's got an invitation song, and if we could help you today in any way, encourage you to submit to Jesus, be baptized into union with, why would you wait? The dam's going to break. The dam is going to break, we've been told. We've been warned. Why not respond today before it's too late? Would you come as we stand and sing the invitation song?